So is it all right if I record you?
I guess so.
Okay. Say yes. Okay. And so do you mind stating your name?
Otis Dean Strickland Roller.
Okay. So I'm going to start off reading this little thing. So thank you so much for agreeing to participate in this project. It will surely benefit the community now and in the future. The goal of this questionnaire is to produce as detailed and coherent a narrative of your story as possible. In light of that, I encourage you to feel free to not worry about providing an answer that is too long or too in-depth. Okay, so, in what year were you born?
1940.
Okay, and where were you born?
Here in Rutherford County.
Okay. How do you define yourself in terms of racial and ethnic identity?
African-American.
Okay. What is the last level of schooling that you completed?
Did I have to tell that?
What did we go to with?
I completed my master's.
Cool. What was your master's in?
Nutrition.
Why did you not want to state it, just out of curiosity?
Oh, you know, I have been retired, and sometimes if you don't keep in practice, you forget things, so... Mm-hmm. Sometimes people ask me something, I say, I don't remember because I haven't kept up with it in the last 10 years.
No.
And things have changed, so, mm-hmm. You know.
Absolutely. And are you married or have you ever been married?
I have been married, yes. I'm a widow.
Oh, sorry. All right, so we're sort of talking about, like, your childhood and schooling and stuff. So tell me about where you grew up, like, what was going on there as you were growing up. What sort of, like, childhood, the nature of your childhood in general?
Well, I grew up in the rural section of this county. Mm-hmm. And I was the only child for 8 years, so I was, like, by myself. But I had friends that, you know, that I played with. Even though I lived in the rural area, our houses were not as close as they are, as houses are now. So I had to go to someone else's house where the children were to play. And even I also played in the city here when my grandmother lived in the city area. I would play with the kids around her house, you know, until my brothers and sisters were born. Because I have two brothers and two sisters.
Okay.
And my brother next to me I'm 8 years older than him.
Right.
And then I have a sister that I'm 9 years older than, and another sister that I'm 11 years older, and my brother, I'm 15 years older than him.
Why did your parents decide to wait between?
I don't know. I have no idea.
And are you full siblings? I mean,
yes,
same parents?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes, we are.
How often would you go into the city to see your grandparents?
I guess we would go at least once or twice a week.
Yes.
My grandmother and my grandfather. I only knew the grandfather on my mother's side. My father's mother and father died when they were young. I don't remember exactly because, you know, you only hear what they tell you, but their parents died when they were, well, my aunt, I think when her father died, she was like 2 or 3 years old. And when her mother died, I don't know exactly how old she was when her mother died, but she was young. So therefore, I never knew my grandfather and grandmother on my father's side. But now my mother, she was the only child. And her mother died when she was young, too. But her father remarried.
Okay.
So therefore, the lady that he married was her stepmother.
Mm-hmm.
And we always call her our grandmother. We call her Big Mama.
Okay. So what, okay. What were your dreams, for the future when you were a kid? I guess when you were a kid and then when you were in high school.
When I was a kid, I never thought about it because I went to a rural school from the first through the eighth grade, and there were only two teachers.
Mm-hmm.
At that school. It was, you know, a little small school out in the country. But I never thought about what I wanted to be until I got to high school. And then when I got to high school, my ambitions was to become a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my grandmother talked me out of that because she was saying to me one day, she said, you don't want to be a nurse. You know, you have to be around a lot of blood, and that scares you. And I think you need to make up your mind about something else, you know. So when I started to college, I did. I changed my mind. And especially after the first year. I took the nursing course. And then after that, the nursing school that I wanted to go to, they closed down. So therefore, I didn't want to go to any other place. So I chose another field. And that's why it took me an extra year to finish school. Because it took me 5 years instead of four.
But you did the coursework, right? That makes sense. Did your family have dreams or expectations for you of what they wanted you to do?
Well, my father always wanted all of his children to go to school because he did not get a chance to go to school himself. You know, he only went to the eighth grade. And my mother, of course, she graduated from high school up to Holloway here. So he always wanted us to go to school. He would not let any of us stay home sick or cold. And the only time we stayed home is when we had something like the chicken pox or the mumps or, you know, something like that. Otherwise, we had to go to school. We could not stay home. He said, because you have to go to school to learn so you can, you know, take care of yourself if you have to. And basically, all of us did that.
What was your house like growing up? I mean, you said it was like rural. Were there did you have like land? I mean, were there like
animals and things? Yes, we had cows and horses and chickens, pigs, and we had chores to do.
What kind of chores did you have?
We had to help. Since I was the oldest, I had to help my. I milked cows sometimes. My father taught me how to milk a cow. But I had to feed chickens. Mm-hmm. I had to help him with the garden. We had a garden. And he also, when I started school, he started driving the school bus because there was no way for me to get home. So he drove me to school, and then eventually he ended up driving a lot of the kids in our neighborhood to school, too. So he became a school bus driver. But, yeah, we had chores to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to help my mother wash. I had to help her with my sisters and brothers because, you know, by me being the oldest, I had to help her with the bottles, baby bottles, and wash diapers and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to ride horses?
Yeah, I rode. We had two or three horses. I didn't ride a lot, but I did get to ride horses. Yeah.
Jealous. We had a mule.
We had two or three horses. And we had cows. Yeah, my father had a barn at that time. And I don't know what happened to that barn. I think that barn, something happened to that barn after I finished high school. Because we had cotton also.
Okay.
We had corn, cotton. We had to pick and chop.
Huh. So, who were your friends as a child and as a, do you remember? And what kind of things would you play as a kid?
Well, we used to play, I had some friends who lived in the back of us up on a hill. And we used to play doctor, nurse, and make mud pies and stuff like that, you know, when we played. My mother would take me, you know, to visit the neighbors. Which wasn't many, and we grew up together. Some of them are still living in the area, but of course, you know, they got married like I did, and we played together, nurse and doctor, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. What about when you were a teenager? What was it like? What did you do for fun? Or who were your friends? What were they like?
I had friends, church friends. I had church friends who lived in the same community. But as far as the everyday thing, I don't remember too much about. Because, see, like I said, we lived a little distance from each other. Mm-hmm. And during those times, you know, your parents had cars, but they weren't going to drive you to or your neighbors unless we visited at night or something like that.
Right.
Excuse me. And after all the chores and everything was done, and that's when we would visit at night, but not basically during the day. Because most of the time we've been in school. And then too, during that time, we, in the summer, my father had cotton and we had to chop it, and which meant there wasn't too many days in the summer that was left for you to do visiting, because when you finished chopping your cotton, I had to help my mother with the household chores, you know, so our visiting was mostly at night. And I remember a couple of times the neighbors that we had that lived up the road from us, they had a, and all of the kids would play, this would be at night, they had, they used to have the sugar cane, they used to cut cane, you know, the sugar canes off the fields, and we would go and play while the horses would go around and around, and they get that sorghum, they called it, and they would put it, it became juice, I guess. I don't remember too much because I forgot how old I was then. But they processed that, and we would play at night till 8 or 9 o'clock, and then we'd go home. Because everybody would bring their, you know, they had their corn and stuff, and then they would put it on the trucks and take them on the wagons, really, and bring them to town here. And they would do the cotton the same way. They would bring it to a, it was some place here that they, I don't know where it was, but they would bring it and sell it after it was picked.
Is it like hard work picking cotton? Like what?
Oh, yeah.
What is the process? Like,
yeah,
that's what I thought.
You had to put a sack around your shoulder and put the cotton in the bag and pull it.
What do you mean?
Like, well,
so what is, I don't know if I've ever seen like a plant, actually. I mean, I've probably like seen them from a
well,
distance.
Well, cotton grew up to be like this tall. Okay, and then it had bows on the side of it, and it would open up, and then you would pick those that cotton from those bows that opened up. There's a, well, now they do it different, but there's a, the way I go home, now they have a cotton picker, but during those times when I grew up, people had to.
Right. So they have a machine that does it now?
Yeah, it's a machine that does it now. And, but anyway, it was a sack that they made, and it had a little thing to go across your shoulder, and it was about that long, maybe that long, and you would drag it, and you'd pick it and put it in your, just like you put in your pocket in the back pocket, you pick that cotton in your hand, put it in your back pocket, in that sack, and then you pull it, and sometimes people, they would weigh it, because they would get paid by how much money, and we, even though we pick, you know, kids don't pick cotton like grown-ups, couldn't do it, and they would weigh your cotton, and you would get paid by how much you picked, what was the weight of it.
Okay.
But we as kids, you know, we just helped our father because he had cotton fields.
Right.
Until we got, well, I think I was in college, my first, second year in college, and my brothers and sisters, I never forget, we had some long cotton rows, cotton rolls, and we decided one day that we weren't going to pick any more cotton. We told our father that if you want to grow any more cotton, you have to hire somebody to pick it, because we're not going to pick any more cotton. You know how you get when you get older, you don't want people to know that you're picking cotton. So that's what happened.
And how did he react?
Well, we all did it together, so it wasn't too much he could do about it.
You like struck against your father.
Yeah.
Keep going straight. That's funny. I used to have to pick up sticks. That was my...
Oh, really?
I mean, different. All right. Okay, so you remember the name of your primary school or your elementary school?
Oh, it's Mount Pleasant Elementary School.
Okay. And then in high school you went to...
Holloway High.
Yeah. Can you describe, like, how did you get... So, you said your dad drove, like, a school bus for you to get to... primary, and how did you get to Holloway?
Well, he drove a school bus.
Okay. And so if he hadn't been doing that, like, would there would have been no transportation?
Well, he probably would have had to drove me himself in his car.
Okay. How far was it
It's not that far. It's, I really haven't clocked it, but I think it's about from our house to the elementary school, because the church was right almost beside the school. I would say it was 3 or 4 miles. I think that's how far it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then from where we live to here, it's about 3 miles, I think.
Hmm. Okay.
Maybe a little bit further. Because, see, city limits at that time was not like it is now. See, city limits now is past where we are.
Okay. Do you have any specific memories from school?
Any what now?
Specific memories from either from like a primary school or high school?
Oh, we used to have, in grammar school, we used to have recess in the morning and recess in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have, we had devotions in the morning. When we come into school, first thing we would do was have devotions. Even though we didn't have a piano or anything, but we would sing and, you know, pray. And there were two teachers at the elementary school. One, I think she was from the first to the fourth grade, and the other one was from the fourth to the eighth grade, I believe. And you know, it, being a community like that, it wasn't a whole lot of kids, I don't remember. And then some of the kids would not come every day. And one of the teachers, she lived in the community, and the other one, she commuted from here in the city.
Okay. What subjects did you study?
Oh, we studied reading, writing, arithmetic, social studies. We had a little thing called a weekly reader that we used to read from that would tell what happened all around, you know, the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget how often we used to get that thing, but it was they call it the weekly reader. And then, of course, you know, we would do our reading, our math, and our arithmetic and social studies. What else? What other subjects we had?
Did you have a favorite subject when you were a kid?
One of my favorite subjects was reading.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then what about...
And spelling. We had spelling, too.
Okay.
And spelling was one of my favorite.
Yeah. Spelling bees?
Huh?
Did you have spelling bees?
Yes, we had spelling bees. They sure did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the racial, ethnic background of your classmates and teachers?
We were all... Oh, they were African American.
Mm-hmm. And did you have any, were your teachers men or women or both?
The ones I had were women.
Okay.
I didn't have any men.
And what about at Holloway? Did you have?
At Holloway, I had both.
Okay. Uh-huh. And what about at Holloway? What did you study, or what subjects were there, and what were your favorites?
Wow. We had history. That's right, we had history in grammar school, too. But we had history, algebra, biology, English, math, music. I used to sing in the Glee Club,
mm-hmm.
Girls Glee Club. And what was that? Algebra. We had algebra. I don't know if I took in trigonometry or not. I don't remember if they had that. But they had typing. They had, I don't remember if they had Spanish. And I think they had some foreign languages, but I didn't take any foreign languages.
Mm-hmm.
But I did take one semester of typing, which I am so glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
We had home economics.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, what else? I can't remember some of the other courses that we had. Each year seemed like it got harder and harder. The more, you know, more subjects that we had to take. During freshman year, it wasn't that bad, but we had chemistry, like I said, biology. I don't know if we had microbiology or not. I don't remember. But we had all of those courses in high school.
Did you play any sports, or were you part of any clubs or teams or anything?
No, I didn't play any sports. But like I said, I was in the Girls Glee Club, and I don't remember if people we had, if I was in the drama clubs or not, I can't remember. That's so low.
Yeah, no. Were there any tensions or rivalries between kids at your school that you remember?
Well, yeah, because, you know, when the thing of it is, when you are from the county, they used to say that we were, what did they call us? We didn't know too much. The kids from the city thought they knew everything. And they felt that we didn't know that much. We were dumb, you know, in the city. So that was, I mean, in the county. So there was some rivalries, but not, I don't think it was a whole lot. Also, we had, oh, I forgot, in high school we had physical ed. Fit basketball, we play basketball, and some of those physical things that we had.
You have to climb the ropes.
Probably did, I don't remember.
What about tense rivalries between other schools?
We had rivals between the schools in other counties. Mm-hmm. Yeah, football, mm-hmm. basketball, yeah.
Did you go to games?
I went to football games, yeah. Mm-hmm. Basketball, too.
Mm-hmm. What about, did you go to any dances, things like that?
I only went to the junior-senior prom. Mm-hmm. But if they had dances here in the city much, I didn't go, because I never did learn how to dance too well.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember your dress to prom?
No, I don't. But I remember our theme for one of the proms was the Hawaiian luau.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what I wore. Yeah.
Do you remember your date?
Oh. Yeah, but I'm not going to say.
Okay. All right. Hey. Touche. What about punishments, methods for punishment the teachers used, I guess, in grammar and then in...
Oh, in grammar school, we had a teacher who would spank us in our hand. She had a brush, and, you know, she would pull our hand back like that, and she... spank us with our hand. And high school, they would make us stay in our rooms for something that we did, you know, while the other kids was out playing or even, we couldn't, those of us in the county really could not stay after school because we had to ride the bus back mm-hmm. home.
Yeah.
And, you know, our parents weren't going to come back and pick us up.
Yeah.
But we were punished like that.
Okay. And what about at home? What did your parents or grandparents, how did they punish you? Your siblings?
They spankings. Yeah. And basically spanking.
What about favorite songs, bands, musical acts as a kid and teenager?
I don't remember. Let's see. See, we had my class, we had a class yearbook, and all of us who graduated had to put our favorite songs, our favorite food, and we had to put our pictures in that thing. And I have it on that. And then we also had to say what we wanted to do in later life, mm-hmm. what our, you know, what we intended to become or whatever.
What was yours?
Mine was a nurse.
Yeah, I was going to say nurse. Mm-hmm. What was, well, I'm also about to ask, what was your favorite food, so...
I think it was maybe it'd been fried chicken, but I'm not quite sure.
Uh-huh. What about TV shows or movies or things?
Well, you know, we got a TV when I think our TV we got was my second year in high school or something like that. I don't remember what the favorite show was, because everybody had to look at TV, so nobody, you know, nowadays you got TV in a lot of rooms, mm-hmm. but we only had one TV. Mm-hmm. We didn't have remote control, you had to get up and cut the TV on the station.
Mm-hmm. what about, did you ever listen to radio programs or anything like that?
Radio programs? I can't remember what radio programs I used to. I like to listen to the music, but I don't remember what kind I like to listen to. The bebop, I guess, is what was popular then. Mm-hmm.
Because
we used to wear socks then.
Sock hops.
Socks and shoes. Yeah.
Yeah. So were there any, like, special foods that, like, your family cooked or your...
Oh, she used to cook Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Christmas time. She cooked before that, but some of the favorites, she used to make a coconut cake. Wow. And what was that other one? One night she used to make coconut cakes and sweet potato pies and turnip greens and caramel cakes. Ooh, she used to make the best caramel cake.
What is caramel cake like?
It was like yellow with the caramel icing.
Caramel icing, okay. Mm-hmm. It's a caramel in it.
Mm-hmm.
What was your largest meal of the day growing up? Like, typically, what did it include?
I guess we had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Well, we had breakfast, dinner, and supper. That's during that time. We had breakfast, dinner, and supper. I guess the supper was the biggest meal. I'm not quite sure.
Did you do any traveling in your...
My father had a sister that lived in Michigan, and we would travel there maybe once every 2 years or something like that. We would go visit her in the car.
Okay.
All of us kids, we had all of us in the car going to visit. And then later he had a brother that had moved to Ohio, Cincinnati, and we used to visit him. And then he had a brother that lived right in Nashville. Of course, you know, we would go down there maybe once a month or something like that to visit. So I still have cousins in Nashville.
Yeah. How was visiting Michigan? Was that like?
It was like for a couple of days or so. That's all.
Was it back home. Like fun? Or,
oh, I yeah. Mean, getting away from here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, what about in your, like, adult life, did you end up traveling, or have you ended up traveling places?
Oh, yeah, after I finished school. Excuse me. After I finished college, I worked in Nashville for a little while. And while I was going to school, I also worked at Vanderbilt part-time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I finished school, I worked in Nashville. I don't forget how long it was. Before I got a job in my field, because I had put our applications in places here, and during that time, you know, there was a lot of segregation and whatever. So I got this notice from New York that they were hiring, and I set out and went to New York.
Nice. Where? The city or?
In the city.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I got this job with the New York City Hospitals. And this hospital that I worked at was on Welfare Island. And it had a nurse's residence where you could live.
Uh-huh.
That's the only reason I went, because otherwise I wouldn't have, I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any relatives in New York. So we could live in the nurse's residence.
Okay.
And they had, what, 8 floors? I think it was 8 floors. They had nurses, dietitians. They had even some of the doctors, I think, stayed in that building.
Mm-hmm.
So there were two hospitals, on one on one end and one on the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked in one of those hospitals. And I worked with the city for 6 years. Then I decided that I wanted to get my internship, because I couldn't get an internship. When you are a nutrition student, you know, the other phase is that you have to work a year for an internship.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would get your license or whatever. So after I had worked for 6 years, I applied for an internship.
Okay.
And I received that, and that was for a year.
Okay.
And I did that internship at Howard University.
Okay.
At the time, the hospital was not Howard University. Well, it was. They had just, it used to be a government, I think the hospital used to be a government hospital,
uh-huh.
But they sold it to Howard. And the year that I went was the first year, I think, that Howard had it.
Mm-hmm.
But the government still paid us because we got a stipend.
Okay.
Okay. They still paid us the stipend until Howard could take it over. You know, they had to have all of the business part of it taken care of. So I worked there. I did the internship for a year.
Lived in D.C.?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. I lived in D.C. for a year.
That's where I'm from.
Mm-hmm. And then I left and went back to New York. I mean, not New York, New Jersey.
Okay. How did you, how'd you like New York?
It was okay.
Did you get in the city much?
Yeah. I had a friend of mine. We became very good friends, and we still are. We hooked up together, and we would go to the city to visit. We go to the plays. We go to a lot of the, not only her and I, but there were several of us that were friends.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times what we would do would go out together.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go, like I said, visit the museums. We would go on the boat. You know, they had a boat that, a sightseeing tour boats.
Mm-hmm.
We would do all of those sightseeing things. We went to out to the Liberty. There was a lot of places that mm-hmm. we went, you know. The Museum of, was it Guggenheim? Was it Guggenheim? And there was another museum we went to. We went to Radio City Music Hall. All of that area down in downtown.
Right.
And then we would go out for dinner or whatever sometimes together.
Nice. And did you like D.C.? What did you think of it?
Well, D.C. was okay. I guess it was okay. One year was enough for me. Mm-hmm. Because in the summer it was hot. And in the winter it was cold. And I never will forget. When it was real hot. D.C. I think is back down in the valley.
It's a swamp. It's
built in
the swamp.
And when you were downtown, you would walk the streets and look like they would be so soft. And they had a way that when you crossed the streets, you would cross in an X way when the lights was on. I don't know if they still do that now or not. But when the lights was on for you to walk, those people who were walking this way and then you would walk that way, mm-hmm. you know, whenever you want to cross the street. I thought that was so strange. I don't know if they still do that now or not. And what else did they have that was funny to me? It was something else. Circles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had circles. So.
Most confusing place to drive ever.
Yeah, and when it snowed, it really snowed. They had a lot of snow. I never forget one year one of our, the class that I was in, we were older.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in our, 20s? Yeah, late 20s. And some were older than that, some were older than me. And then some of us had kids and some didn't. But one of my classmates, she was married, but she was a widow. Her husband had just passed. He was in the Army. She had one child, and he had passed. And she lived with her mother. And she invited us that year to a New Year's party. Oh, we had to spend the night at her house because it snowed. 8 inches of snow, and we could not get out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I said, wow. We had no idea that it was going to do anything like that. You know, you don't even listen to any weather reporter.
Yeah.
When you're young like that, you don't pay any attention. But, it's 8 inches of snow. We had to go home the next day.
It's a good party, hey?
Yeah.
So did you move at all when you were a kid or a teenager? Like from the house you grew up in? You stayed there?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where'd you go to college?
I went to TSU.
Okay. And why did you decide to go there?
Well, I couldn't go out here to MTSU. I couldn't afford to go to FIS. So TSU was the only place. Plus, it didn't cost a lot of money, and it was close to home.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't stay in the dorm. I lived out with my mother's foster sister.
Okay.
I commuted.
Okay.
Back and forth to school.
You said your mother's foster sister?
Mm-hmm. My mother was the only child, and my grandmother raised her and another lady together.
Okay.
And so we would call her, she was our foster sister, her mother's foster sister.
Did you have feelings about not being allowed to go to MDSU at the time? I mean, you weren't allowed to go because it was segregation was happening.
Right,
correct?
Right.
Yes.
Right. You know, it was just a thing that you didn't even think about. I guess if I had thought about it, I would have had some, you know, some problems or whatever, but I didn't. My brother and my sister went, but I didn't. But well, two of my brothers and one of my sisters, they went.
So what was your, tell me about college. What was your major?
My major was first nursing for first year, and then I was in foods and nutrition.
Okay.
For the other, 4 years. I had a time with chemistry, not the first year chemistry, the second year chemistry. I had a hard time with that, and organic chemistry is what it was. Organic chemistry. All of the other ones, they weren't that hard as organic. It was I think it was the instructor myself, because I really feel that, you know, when you have certain instructors and your classes are big and you go to their office to get help or whatever, you know, you can't get the help that you wanted. But I enjoyed physiological chemistry because I had this instructor. He made it very easy for us, and that was in agriculture.
Okay.
The agriculture department. His name was Dr. Rupert. And that's something I'm just remembering his name.
Yeah.
And then I had a home economics teacher that I didn't particularly care for. Maybe more than one.
Why not?
Well, one of them was she was in sewing, and she everything had to be just right. If it wasn't right, she'd tear it out. You know, she'd undo. There was a sewing class, and there was, my first year sewing was fine because my instructor was, she was nice for all of us. You know, she helped us out and everything. But that second year, that lady was terrible. But my cousin didn't have any problem with her when she went to school, but I did. I had a lot of problems with her. She was one of these people where everything had to be just right.
Yeah. What was your, what were your favorite courses that you took?
That physical electrochemistry was one.
Right, yeah.
And then, what else was another one of my favorite? I don't know.
Also, how did you decide to get into the major that you picked? How'd you decide on that?
You know, to come to think of it, I don't remember. I don't, because once I turned, you know, once the nursing was out, I didn't want to go into home economics, because I wasn't with sewing.
Right,
that was one thing.
Excuse me.
And I guess because maybe it was in cooking. You know, that was cooking, and then there was other courses.
Uh-huh.
And another favorite topic of mine was when we had to stay in the house. All of us had to, four of us. We had to stay in the home economics house, and we had to have 1 week of cooking, be a cook, 1 week to be a housekeeper, 1 week to be a hostess, and what was the other week? Cook, hostess, housekeeper, something else. We had to do that. I enjoyed that. Yeah, I like that course. And I kind of enjoyed the child development, one or two of the child development courses too. I like that. But we had one teacher, she was hard too in that. But those were some of my, you know, some of my favorite courses.
What about, what are some of your favorite memories, I guess, like maybe like socially? Like, did you meet people
on campus, you know, you didn't really meet as many people as you really would have if you were on campus. But I had friends.
Yeah.
I had friends on campus.
Okay. So then when you graduated, what did you do right after graduation? Like, what jobs did you
graduate? I worked in a beauty parlor. I don't know how how long I worked
doing what?
Washing brushes and stuff like that. It was in a white beauty parlor. What's the name used to go to? Manny Pearl.
Who?
Manny Pearl.
Okay.
Her name was her name with the Grand Ole Opry. Hmm. But her name was Sarah Cannon.
Hmm.
Yeah, I worked in that beauty parlor that she used to go to. I think it was in Belle Meade.
Okay.
And that was a job that I think I was there about a year before I left to go to, or maybe less, a year or less before I left to go to New York.
Okay. And so then where did you go for, so the master's program, that was at Howard or what?
No. The master's program, I did that at Hunter.
Okay.
I started at Rutgers.
Okay, that's in New Jersey. Okay, I get it. Okay,
uh-huh. Yeah. I started in Rutgers because I had a friend that worked with me. We worked together. And she went to Rutgers for a while, and then she, you know, we talked about it, and I decided that I would go to Rutgers too.
Okay.
But I did not go there for so long because I didn't have good memories of Rutgers, because to me, Rutgers and the department that I was in was prejudice, and I only went there for, 2 years? I think it was 2 years, maybe two and a half, and I transferred to Hunter's.
Okay. Do you mind describing, what did you feel was prejudice about it? Or
for one thing, there were not that many blacks in the classes.
Okay.
And then there were, when you needed help or whatever, you couldn't really get the help that you needed from your instructors. They were not that friendly with you.
Okay.
And I ended up, the courses that I took, a lot of them that I took, I ended up, in two or three, I ended up being one of three or four blacks in the class, whereas the class was a big class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was uncomfortable to me. Yeah, it was uncomfortable. So, and then, like I said, the head of the department, she used to be our consultant where I worked. And she, to me, she wasn't that friendly.
Yeah.
And so I just, and then one of the other instructors was not that friendly. She was, they were both doctorates. They had their doctorate degrees. And I just didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So I left.
Had you had experiences like that before?
When I was at TSU, we had foreign students that I took classes with, but it wasn't that many. It was mostly, you know, black students that was in the classes that I was in. But we had foreign students, and I had no problems with them.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, during that time, to me, Rutgers was kind of prejudiced. Plus the fact I had to drive all the way, you know, there, because I lived about far from here to Nashville from Rutgers. So what I did was, after I had a son, and after he passed, then that's when I decided to go to graduate school.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. So.
So, was this, I guess, what year was this? Was this, had integration happened in Nashville at the time that Rutgers?
Integration, I'm going to tell you something. Integration happened in Nashville in 57? It happened while I was going to TSU, really. They had the sit-ins and everything when I was going to school at TSU.
But it took until 68 for it to actually take place into Tennessee, right? There's something else that I've heard.
I guess so, because they were doing the sit-ins when I was going to school. I never would forget I was in school when they pulled all of those buses into the bus depots and changed, took those signs off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see where you want to sit. I think it was doing, it was in the, 60s?
Mm-hmm.
I know it was before I finished school.
Yeah. So what was your, I'm going to skip ahead. So tell me, what was your impression of so what did that make you think, like, I guess, like when integration happened?
What did it make me think?
I guess, what did it make you think of the situation as it had been before and then after?
Well, I didn't particularly like, you know, what was going on because of the fact that after I finished school, Holloway was, my brother's, no, his wife's class was the last one that Holloway had graduated from. You know, I think in 68 is when they, in that last class, and then my brother's wife was one of that class. It really had no effect on me at that time because I wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I finished in 64 at TSU, and I didn't come back to March. I really finished. See, at that time, TSU had quarter system.
Okay.
They didn't have semester system like they had now. They had quarter system. So I finished in December. Was it December or the spring or the summer? I may have finished in the summer of 63. And from 63, the summer of 63 until February of 64 is how long I stayed in Nashville after I finished. Because I had to go to summer school in order to, you know, to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Up my courses like I should.
When the civil rights stuff was happening, did you, like, what was your opinion on it? Or, I mean, what was your, did you have any, involvement, or did?
No, I didn't have any involvement.
Yeah. Okay, so then after you worked, so after you finished in at Howard, and then you came back here, you came back to Murfreesboro, right?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. What did you tell me?
When I finished at Howard, I went to work in New Jersey.
Oh, okay. So what were you doing there?
I was a dietitian in a children's hospital.
Oh, okay.
It was a children's hospital in Newark.
Okay.
I don't know if it's still there or not. I worked for a food service company at that time.
Okay.
And then I trained at a hospital called St. James. It was a medical center, But I trained there, and then they transferred me to the children's hospital.
Okay.
So I worked there for about 18 months, and then I left there, and I went to a Jewish hospital.
Okay.
And I worked at that Jewish hospital. I don't know how long I worked there.
And where was that?
In Newark.
In Newark as well?
Uh-huh. It was... what was that? Jewish hospital. Do you have a name of it? St. Barnabas? No. St. something, because I had a lady who was the head of the nutrition department was a Jewish lady, Miss, I can't think of what her name is. Name was, rather. I worked there for a while, and then I left there and I went to the Veterans Administration, the VA hospital in East Orange.
Okay.
And I worked there for 19 years?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I transferred from there to Georgia, the VA in Georgia.
Okay. Where in Georgia?
Dublin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I worked there for how long? Well, I had 26 years of service with the VA.
Okay.
So, 19, I worked there for 7 years.
Okay.
And then I retired.
A private cat.
Yes. I don't think so.
Oh, sorry.
I hope it's not over there. That'd be awkward.
They must be out of school today.
All right. Okay, so then you were in... So then after Georgia, where'd you go?
Came back here.
Okay.
I had an accident... I was in an automobile accident, and I hurt both of my shoulders. Mm-hmm. And the place in Georgia was a small town.
Mm-hmm.
It was a town something like, it was maybe a little bit bigger than Smyrna. But I, when I got hurt, I had such a problem with my shoulders hurting me. I had a rotator cuff injury. And, you know, I thought at one time I wouldn't have to have surgery, but it kept on hurting and hurting and hurting. Mm-hmm. So finally, what I did was I came back here and asked my mother's surgeon, mm-hmm. who would he recommend to do? Because I didn't want to stay in Dublin because I had no family there.
Yeah.
And I knew I needed some help, you know, besides just a friends yeah. of mine. So he recommended a orthopedic doctor. And I chose that doctor. But he did not stay here. He left and went back to Memphis because he was living here. He was from Memphis, so he decided to go back to Memphis. And he turned me over to another local orthopedic doctor here, and that's who operated on me.
Who
so that's Dr. Johns.
Okay.
He works with the...
I had rooted her. Well, okay. Yeah.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He works with football at MTSU, the football.
Yeah,
yeah. So he did my surgery. And see, I ended up having surgery on both my shoulders.
Oh, really?
Because that accident really hurt both of them.
Do you have to wear that giant?
Yes.
The Donjoy? Mine, it's like the giant, like, cast thing that's like a little
yeah.
sofa kind of.
Well,
almost.
My cast was like this.
Yeah, and but it was like this giant, and it was almost like a backpack kind of thing.
Well, I guess so.
Okay. It was crazy. That was less.
Yeah.
I haven't lost.
You had the arm in a sling, and
mm-hmm.
then you had that thing on first.
It was like a giant, yeah, uh-huh.
And then they took it off after.
Mm-hmm. It was like this like, poofy thing, yeah.
Yeah, after that. And then there's this gray stuff that, yeah. Oof. And that was painful.
Oh, yeah. They give you double anesthesia, though, because, like, I can still, like, okay, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, so
cool.
You know what. I first had it on this one. That was the first one.
Yeah, I did my right.
And then
first.
A year and a half later, I had to have it on this one.
Yeah.
But both of them was hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them got hurt at the same time.
But I'm good now. It's like
yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, it was painful.
Okay. Were you or your spouse ever in the military?
My husband was.
Okay.
Yeah, he was in the Army.
Okay.
And he was in the Korean.
Okay.
Conflict.
Did you do active duty?
Like yes, he did. He was in the Army for 2 years. I don't know how long. I don't remember how long he was in Korea,
mm-hmm.
but he did. He was in there for 2 years.
Okay. So then, when you came back to Murfreesboro, okay. So then, after your the surgery and everything, did you were you retired at that point?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what year was that you came back?
I came back here in 2004. I had my surgery in May of May or June of 2004.
Okay. All right, so I'm just going to go backtrack a little bit to your family. So your parents, where are your parents from?
Here.
Okay. And what were their greatest passions and or interests? In
passion of what?
Scratch that. So what did your parents do for a living?
Oh, my father was a farmer,
right.
And he was a bus driver. And my mother was a housewife.
Okay. And were either of them in the military?
No.
Okay. I guess, what were they like personality-wise?
Well, my father was, he always made sure that we did everything we were supposed to do. My mother was more of a soft-speaking type of person.
Mm-hmm.
She did what she had to do.
Yeah.
You know, keep house and keep up kids and grow up kids and stuff like that. And my father was always, I think, to me, he was the one that was not overbearing, but with a stronger,
mm-hmm.
stronger one.
Either of them have a favorite saying or proverb that they would always...
I know my father had a favorite song, and I'm pressing on the higher way. I had a lot. My grandmother was the one, really, who she always used to tell us, new broom sweeps good, but the old broom sweeps the best.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother would always say, do what you have to do to, you know, what you have to get done. And And my grandmother would always tell us to make sure that we washed and had our kept clean clothes, and when we went somewhere, make sure we took clean clothes with us and washed them up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of things that they, but I can't remember everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel like was the greatest lesson that they kind of like taught you?
How to be on your own, how to work for your living, that you can't sit at home and expect people to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the main things that my father would tell all of us. He said, you're going to school so you can be able to take care of yourself and not sit around and look for other people to do things for you. You have to learn how to do things for yourself. My mother said that too.
Yeah. What about your grandparents? What do you feel like was the lesson that they kind of...
My grandmother had a lot of lessons for us. Like I said, a new room sweeps good, but the old one sweeps the best. That's the one thing she would always tell us. And to make sure that we have all of the necessary things that we needed for going to school. Make sure we keep our hair combed and have nice little... wash our clothes with, and you know, at that time we used to have starch in our clothes,
mm-hmm.
and make sure. And she taught us how to iron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we wouldn't have, she called them cat faces in your clothes. That's wrinkles.
Mm-hmm.
She used to call them cat faces.
That's really funny. It's a great detail.
Yeah, cat faces.
And where are your grandparents from?
They're from here.
Okay.
I only knew two of my grandparents.
Right, right, right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember. And what was their highest level of education?
They didn't have much of an education. I really don't know, but I'm sure it was grammar school.
Mm-hmm. And what about, what did they do for a profession?
My grandfather was a laborer.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother, she used to work at MTSU.
Mm-hmm.
She worked in... one of those halls, she called it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. She worked in one of the women's halls.
Okay.
Yeah, she used to work out there. She retired from there.
Okay.
And then she had a little store that she used to run.
Oh, nice. And what about, did either of them serve in the military, any of your grandparents?
No.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
And so did your family own property?
Yes, my father did.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather did too, but they sold it. When he and my grandmother divorced, they sold it so she could get her part. Because
okay.
They had bought it together. And they sold it so she could get her part, and after that he didn't buy anymore.
Mm-hmm. When did they get divorced?
Oh, I don't know. They lived apart for 20 years.
Oh, okay.
I don't even remember.
Before you. Okay. Did anyone ever share crop, like, before owning of land?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Were there other elders from the community who played an important part in your life when you were growing up that you remember?
Well, one of my school teachers, she lived not too far from us. She married one of the men that lived they lived on their own property too. And then they had relatives that we used to go and visit a lot that played an important part. As a matter of fact, two of them are still living, and they live back of us now.
Okay.
When I was a kid. They've been married for 60-something years.
Wow. So while you were growing up, what were you told about slavery?
Not really much, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not understand why we didn't move like some of the other schoolmates and I. You know, they went to school with me in grammar school. They would move from farm to farm, and I couldn't understand why we didn't move like they did,
mm-hmm.
you know. I didn't learn that until after I grew up. They were sharecroppers.
Right, right, right. Whereas, like, you own the land.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if you descend from slaves or, like, if...
Well, you know, we were doing our genealogy, and I think great-great-grandparents, or the great ones, mm-hmm. were the ones who were slaves. Mm-hmm. I really haven't gone way back that far.
So when did you get married, and how did you meet your husband?
I got married in... I was older when I got married. I got married when I in 1986.
Okay. And how did you meet?
How did I meet my husband?
What was his name?
His name was Joseph. Mm-hmm. I met him when on my I used to go to work the same way every day on the trains, and I met him.
So this is in New York?
In New York?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. I met him in New York.
Which train do you take?
I took the A train to work.
Uh-huh.
I took the A train. I used to take my son to a babysitter.
Okay.
And then when I left the babysitter, I would go catch the train. And then when I came back to pick him up, then I would catch that A train. Then I would catch... I caught two trains and a bus to go to work.
Okay. So where were you... I lived in New York for a while. Where were you exactly? I'm just curious.
Where was...
Yeah, so where were you living in the city?
In New York City? Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, I first lived in the nurse's residence.
Right,
and then I moved... from which was in the between Manhattan and Queens.
Okay.
It was an island right between Manhattan and Queens. You had to ride the bus to get over at a bridge to go over to the island.
Because there's like Roosevelt Island and then there's like...
It's not Roosevelt now. They don't call it Roosevelt now. I don't forget what they call it. But it was Welfare Island then.
It was Welfare Island. Okay, I think it was changed. Still be called that. Oh, it's not called... Okay.
It's changed to... It could be Roosevelt.
Roosevelt has like... There's like a tram...
Yeah, okay.
It's got the
tram there from 59th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's it.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. It's got the tram where they have some kind of people live there now.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a trolley. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. But see, when I was there, people didn't live there. That was the training for the firemen. The firemen trained over there on that island.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if they still do now. Now or not.
No, it's like housing.
It is?
It's like so Starbucks.
Really? You kidding?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, see, there were two hospitals, one on one end and one on the other.
Okay.
And I worked at the Goldwater Hospital where they had the, it was a long-term care hospital.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Berta's Cola was, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was long-term care.
Okay. Okay. And so you met your husband because you... We take the train every day the same way.
Right. I take that A train, and then I get off there and get to 59th Street. I catch that train up to Long Island City.
Mm-hmm.
And from Long Island City, I used to catch the bus.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And that's, I met him on that A train. Yeah.
And so then, how long were you married? Or
we were only married almost four years before he passed.
How did he pass away?
He had a heart attack. He had just retired, and we were building a house. And he passed with that before the house was finished, really.
Where was the house?
In North Carolina. That's where he was from.
Where in North Carolina?
Greenville. You heard of Greenville? It's a suburb of Greenville.
Yeah.
A little place called Grimesland.
Okay. What was his profession?
He was a he drove the city trains.
Mm-hmm.
He was a conductor first, and then he moved from a conductor to a what do you call him? Some kind of something technician. He used to drive the trains. They start out at the bottom. They were clerks, and then uh-huh. they trained to be conductors, and then they went on to be the drivers of the train.
Uh-huh. So would you like see him every day?
I'd see him every day. I would just run into him sometimes.
And then he just was finally like...
Yeah, we went together for a while, a long time before we got married.
How long?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, no. Oh, okay.
It was a long time.
What was his pickup line? You remember? Like, how did he first start talking to you?
Oh, on the streets, he was, I guess he noticed that I would get off at the same spot, same stop every day.
Uh-huh.
And he happened to see me one day at a store. I stopped at a store. It's like a candy store where they sell papers and things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met him.
And had you noticed him before, too?
Not really, no.
Okay. Mm-mm. That's funny. That's really funny. Okay, and so then you said you have a son. Was he... And was that your only son? Or
yes.
Your only child?
Yes, only child.
Okay. And when did you have him? Or how old was he?
I had him after I got to New York. I had been in New York about 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
65, so yeah. Been in New York about 2 or 3 years.
And what was his name?
Kevin.
Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Stripper.
And you said that he...
He passed. He was in an elevator accident.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. He was 10.
Oh, I'm really sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was in an elevator accident.
And you didn't, you haven't remarried or?
No. I haven't remarried.
Okay. What was the relationship? This is kind of different. Change of pace now. So what was the relationship between whites and blacks who were involved in agriculture in your town? I mean, when you're, like, growing up, or, like, I guess, because your, so your father had, like, a farm, obviously. Mm-hmm. Did he have, I mean, yeah, I guess, like, was there, what was the relationship between, like, whites with farms? Was there any? Did you ever notice, I guess it's maybe at the market? Did you ever, like, go with him when he would,
no.
Like, sell things?
No, I didn't go to him to the markets.
Okay.
I never went with him to the markets when he sold his cotton and stuff like that. No, I mm-hmm. never went.
Were there white families living near you at all?
Yeah, there was a white family that lived right down here from us. And we were good neighbors. Because they had kids and, you know, we were kids. I never forget, we had a garden. And there was, this man had, well, he had 3 kids, an older daughter and 2 younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go to our garden, and my brother and I and this other kid and his sister, he was a boy and a girl, it was 2 boys and 2 girls. We were, our garden was a little distance from the house. My father planted a garden. He planted a garden every year. And he sent us up to the garden to gather some fruit or some vegetables. We had carrots, we had potatoes, we had green beans, we had green peas, you know, all of those things. And my brother had a hoe, and those kids was up there with us, and he was digging up potatoes, and they were digging up carrots and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't get them up, couldn't get the potatoes. They was in the ground so deep. And one of the young man said to, his name was Richard, I forgot what his sister's name. He said to him, let me take that hoe and see if I can't get those. And he went to chopping and trying to digging, you know. And all of a sudden, the hoe came down and hit my brother on his arm. Wow. He was hollering, and we were scared. We saw all of this blood, and his skin just, you know, how it, and it was white. And it just opened up.
Did you go to the bone?
Not quite. But it was enough to scare all of us.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We went running and hollering, and he was bleeding, and my mama was home. My daddy wasn't home.
Uh-huh.
And so my mother, we were scared.
Uh-huh.
We were scared because we knew that, you know, we were going to get whipped.
Yeah.
And when my daddy did come home, my mother told him about it, and he took him to the hospital, and they sewed it up. But he has a scar on his arm now.
Yeah.
From that hole.
That's crazy.
That he... You know, but that kid was scared. All of us were scared.
I can imagine it. Oh, man. Okay, so I think you mentioned going to church before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we went to church every Sunday.
What church do you go to?
Not every Sunday. We went to church on second or fourth Sunday of the month. We went to a AME Methodist church.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, which was not far from our house.
Okay.
It was next to the school, really.
Okay. And what was that like?
It was old people and young people. Being kids, you know, we used to sing in the choir, and the old people used to pray and sing, and we did too, you know. And we would play together at church because we saw one, at least that was one day we saw one another that we didn't have to be in school.
Right, yeah.
So we would freely play then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. our parents. We had Sunday school, and we stayed in church till, you know, in the afternoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have, like, Sunday dinners or Sunday?
Well, they had what they call, during that time, once a year they would have basket dinners. Mm-hmm. And that's when all of the people who had moved away would come home.
Okay.
To celebrate homecoming. They call it homecoming.
And what, have you continued with church as an adult?
Oh, yeah, I continued church as an adult.
Okay. Yeah, are you still the same church or different church?
No, different church.
Still Methodist or different?
No, I'm not Methodist. I belong to a spiritualist church now.
Okay. What do you remember? Okay, what about shopping? Is going to stores as a child? Did you do much of that, or when you got a child?
Not too much as a kid. We used on Saturday nights. We used to come here to Memphis, but we were talking about that at when we used to. It's a place called Mink Slide, right down the downtown. You've heard other people talk about that, right? Yeah, on Saturday nights. That was our shopping.
Tell me about it.
We used to come to town and go to the restaurant, and then they had a pool room, and all of the people in the country, and even some of those in the city, I think, used to come. But they didn't come as much as we did. And we would stay on Saturday nights from 7, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, I guess, and then we would go home. That was our recreation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then where the city hall is now used to be called the bottom.
What's that?
That was where people lived, and it used to rain and flood down there. There was really a lot of shacks.
Yeah.
That was down there. Yeah, right where City Hall is then.
Huh.
Sure. And where City Hall and the police department too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All that area right downtown. It used to be, blacks used to live down there.
Huh. I wonder, when did it change?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember exactly when it changed. But when I was a kid, that's what it used to, you know. That's where a lot of black people live, in the city. It rained and would flood there. But yeah, I say that now. It's strange how a city hall was where where the bottom, they used to call it the bottom.
Huh.
Because it was low.
Right, right, right.
You know, and when it rained, it flooded and the water stood.
So was it like a, yeah.
Uh-huh, they call it the bottoms.
So what was the role of, Mink Slide, these are like black-owned businesses. What do you feel like their role was?
Well, some of them were black-owned businesses. There was a barbershop, there was a couple of restaurants, there was a pool room right on that corner.
Yeah.
And then up the street further, this man had a furniture store. There was Jewish fella had a furniture store. And then they had that hardware stores up the street where it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other stores, I don't remember exactly. Shoe store, because one man had a shoe store. Shoe repair shop.
Mm-hmm.
Got a shoe repair shop there. I don't remember what those others were.
What do you feel like the role of the black-owned stores was in the community, though?
Well, they mostly catered to the blacks, and black was the one who bought, you know, from them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they had any whites that bought anything from them. And then there used to be a clothing store called Goldstein's. He was Jewish. People used to buy stockings and clothes and things there. I remember my mother shopping there every so often. But it was a place where basically those who didn't have much money, what you would have to do is put clothes on layaway, because you really couldn't afford to just go in there and buy and bring it out.
Right.
A lot of people put things on layaway. And then they had a drugstore up there called Stickney and Griffith up on that square. And Woolworth and Cecil L. Ross. I forgot what kind of business they had. Then they had banks up there on the square. Now where the courthouse is now, there used to be a bank.
Mm. Where?
On the corner of street is. The name of that street. The street that leads down to City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go around the...
I can picture it kind of, but not the name.
Where the courthouse is. Mm-hmm. Not the courthouse, though. The where they have the jewelry, the, you know what I'm talking about. It's two or three stories. It's, the courthouse is in the middle, they call it. No. What is that place in the middle? It's always been in the middle, always been there. But where the where they have a lot of, where they, the people go for the jury, and, you know, you have to go to.
If you have, like, jury duty, that kind of thing?
Not here, no. I've never done jury duty. Oh. I've only done jury duty once. I guess I hope I don't have to do it anymore.
Never had that.
Yeah. it's an experience you don't want to do. I did it one time in New Jersey, and I haven't had to do it here. I'm thankful. But anyway, where they have the, that's where a bank used to be.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about, like, so after integration happened, what do you feel like happened to, like, the businesses or that area?
I really don't know because I wasn't here.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. See, I left here in 60, I left in 64, and I didn't come back to graduate. They just sent me my papers. So I don't know really what happened. I didn't come back here to live until 2004. I would come back and visit, but I didn't come back to live.
So I guess, like, growing up, like, what was the general relationship between blacks and whites, did you feel?
Well, we really weren't around a lot of whites when I was growing up.
Okay. And I guess, like, so then I was going to ask about, like, experiences with, like, racism or segregation. And integration, but I guess, I mean, you've touched on that some, but I mean, are there any other, like, distinct memories that kind of stick out for you?
No.
Culturally, did it feel, like, different living in, like, New York, New Jersey than here? Like, as far as,
I dealt more with whites in New York and New Jersey than I did here.
Yeah. And was that, like, how was that, like, as a transition? Like, did it feel, was it, like, a noticeable transition for you, or, like, did it feel?
Well, an experience where, you know, we did get along. You know, I had no problems except maybe I had a supervisor that I felt, she was from Nova Scotia. I felt sometimes that she may have been prejudiced, you know, but you learn how to deal with that and go on. You know? You learn how to work with it and go on.
Yeah.
You didn't have no animosity or anything like that. But, you know, you just worked around it.
Yeah. Did you know anyone who, like wouldn't, like, I guess, like, do that? Or, like, would, like, had a more, like, violent reaction to?
Oh, no. No, I had no violent reaction.
So, I guess, like, how did segregation affect, I guess, like, the community, do you think, ultimately?
How did what?
How do you feel like segregation affected the community, like, that you knew? I mean, like, yeah, I guess, like, yeah, so, like, growing up, ultimately, like, how do you feel like the world that you knew was, like, changed by a segregation that makes? And it's sort of like a big picture question, but
You know, during the times that they did the sit-ins and things, you had a feeling about that because you didn't like it, you know, and you had to learn how to deal with that. You knew that it was, segregation was, and prejudice was a part of life, but you kind of went around it. But when you had to deal with it, you just had to learn how to, you know, deal with it and go on. But I didn't like the idea of having separate water drinking, water fountains and bathrooms and things like that. No, I didn't like that, but what could you do? It was in the South. And when it changed, it was, and then, you know, when you changed where you could sit where you want to sit on the bus, it was a good feeling. On the bus or wherever that you You were.
What do you feel like have been your greatest joys in life?
I guess family life, traveling. I got a lot of joy out of traveling, you know, different places. And I would love to. I have been out of the States. I would like to, you know, travel to another, a different country than where I have gone. I have gone many places,
where
many countries. I've been to England, and I've been to a friend of mine and I. We went on a boat, you know, like Carnival boat, and we went to 5 different ports. And England, that's about it. But I'd like to go to, I'd like to go to Africa, and I'd like to go to what is the over there where the Black Sea is, that where the one that you can get in the water?
Oh, like Mediterranean.
Yeah, over that way. I'd like to go get in that water. They say it's a different experience.
Yeah. What about, I have like a side question that's something I should have asked before.
I'm going to say this. Another joy that I had is when we had family reunions, where I met my family that lived in other states other than me. You know, other than my sisters and brothers and I.
Yeah, like extended family.
Extended family,
yeah. Do you have people spread out, kind of?
Yeah, they're kind of dying off, but I have cousins in Illinois and in Indiana and Michigan, Texas, and I have a very distant distant cousin in New Jersey.
So your work exactly, like, do you mind describing just specifically the kind of work that you did?
Oh, well, I worked with veterans, and I worked in, I also worked with children when I worked at the Children's Hospital. We did a lot of formulas, and we did, you know, feeding of children of different diseases and conditions that they had. And illnesses, and, you know, kids would fall out of this and break the limbs and stuff like that. We did, you know, help them as far as their health is concerned with how they eat.
Okay.
And also I worked with the VA. I never worked with, I did training with babies, but I never worked exactly close with babies. We did formulas, though, but for that year and a half we had to do formulas for children. But who else was I never worked with? Adolescents, I think. I never worked with adolescents. I worked with mostly veterans, and they were men who went to the wars and come back. And, you know, to help them with their nutritional things that they had. I worked with spinal cord injury patients. I did home visits. I worked with medical patients, surgical patients, kidney patients, the ones who had dialysis. I worked in all areas of that. I got a little, you know, a lot of training in those different areas of nutrition.
Right.
And see, what other areas did I work with? Surgical, medical, dialysis patients. I worked with those patients who had a lot of cancer and gunshot wounds, and, you know, even AIDS patients. When they first diagnosed AIDS, I think we, at the hospital where I was, we had our first AIDS patient. I worked with them. And who else? But in all areas in the VA is where, you know, I did a lot of my work. I worked with the paralyzed patients. To see patients now, how they are doing, it's wonderful. Because, see, some of those patients at that time, they were paralyzed from the neck down or either from the hip down. It was really something to work with them.
What do you feel like have been some of your greatest challenges in life, and have you been able to cope with them?
Challenges. Well, you know, when I had accidents and that accident I had, that challenge with the shoulder thing, that was a challenge. Challenges of working with, you know, with family, health challenges, because we all, you know, most of us, as we get older, we start having those thing challenges. But basically, I guess that's it. And you know, you learn how, as they said, when you pray and said, "This too shall pass," mm-hmm. you get over it sooner or later.
Yeah.
And the different deaths and things that I have, especially with my son and my husband, that I had to deal with. You know, I had a challenge when my husband passed, and we were building the house. I couldn't come and see what was going on every day when they started back building. And that's one thing that I kind of wished I could have done. But I had to work. You know, I had to make a living.
Yeah. What ended up happening to the house?
Well, it's still, I'm trying to sell it. I've had to rent it to people. I put it up for sale and nobody. Now, you know, the times is bad where people are not, the mortgage is, you can't get mortgages now. You really have to, I think what I'm going to end up doing is auction it. Mm-hmm. So I don't have that problem.
Right. So you said before you describe yourself as African American.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you prefer, I guess, like that term?
Well, that's the newest term. We used to say Negro. That colored,
mm-hmm.
but it's African American now, so I go with flow.
How do you think black is defined now, and how does it compare to how it was defined when you were growing up?
Well, now I think you have this thing of black. Most of if you're just a part of black, because there are a lot of mixed marriages now.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're mixed, they still if you have a black parent. Still black.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned how to deal with that too.
That's interesting. So when you say, even if you have like one black parent, you're still black, what do you mean by that exactly?
Well, as long as you got that blood in you, you're black. You know?
Right. And is that do you,
even that if it was an Asian marrying a black.
Right.
You're still considered black.
Yeah.
You know, Puerto Rican mixed mm-hmm. with black is still the same.
Right. Okay.
Seems like it's more black. It seems to me it's more percentage
right.
wise, more black than the if you're married to a Japanese or if you're married to mm-hmm. Just like with Tiger Woods, his mother and father. His father was black and his mother was Asian, of the Asian descent.
But people would consider him.
Big pardon?
But he's considered more African American, more
right,
black.
More African American.
Okay, I see.
Mm-hmm.
How would you say black-white relationships in the community, I guess around here, have changed since?
Oh, I think they've changed a lot.
In what way? Better or worse?
Better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think it's better. There's some problems, but, you know, I think it's better.
And are you currently involved with any, like, church community groups, organizations? I know you reach the kids, so.
Am I?
Oh, I'm sorry, are you currently involved with any, like community groups or church groups or?
Oh, well, yeah. I go to the church. I go to a church here, although I haven't moved my membership yet because I'm still looking for a church that I want to really, you know, get involved with. But yes, I'm involved.
Yeah.
And it seems like this class that I took made me more, well, there's not many whites in this class, but made me more aware of some of the people that I did not know, because being away from here for 40 years, you only would know your classmates and some of the people that you went to school with.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a man told me, he says he didn't know. I have a brother that still lives here, and he asked me who was I related to, and I was telling him, you know, who I was related to. He said, oh, I thought he was the only child. Excuse me. And I said, no. I said, yes, sisters and brother. You know, so he said, well, how many sisters? I said, it's three. And I said, he got one brother. Oh, I thought he was the only child. I said, no. And the same thing when I was going to school. I was the oldest. And, you know, the kids didn't realize that I had other sisters and brothers.
Yeah.
At that time, we weren't that interested.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of reestablish your
domain.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess the last question is really, what's, so like, if you wanted to communicate a specific message to, like, younger generations, young people of the community, what would it be?
Know your roots. I think that the younger generation now should know where they came from. They should try to find out who their people are, because a lot of them don't know. And it seems as though they're not interested. They have, to me, the kids of today, they're more involved in the computer, and they don't try to get out to mingle with other, you know, other people. They are just, to me, they're more self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like to get exercise. It's computer world. And it's not that. No, it's not just that. And I noticed that, you know, the kids of today, they, some of them feel that they're the only ones that have problems as far as communication and friends and things like that. But, you know, you have to get over that and move on.
Yeah.
You know, they're not the only ones that have those problems. Other people have them too. And their classmates or their friends or whatever, they have them too, but they have to learn how to live above it.
Yeah.
You know, and not try to commit suicide or do commit suicide because they think they're the only one. They're not the only ones. There are other people who have gone through the same things that they have, but they found a way in which they could deal with it or handle it. And, I mean, I think the kids of today should try to find ways that they can deal with their problems other than the computer, Facebook, and going on all of this and telling everything about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain things that you really shouldn't tell about yourself like that.
Mm-hmm.
And show pictures like they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and be more, as my mother used to say, grandma's promiscuous. Sexually involved and things like that. I think that that is talked about a little too much. It's okay to know and what, you know, what it's all about, but
yeah,
to be involved as some of them are, I think that they need to think about that.
Yeah.
Is that about the email?
Yeah. So then so is there any other information you want to include that we haven't talked about yet?
I can't think of anything.
All right. Well, thank you again for participating.
Mm-hmm.
Please feel free to contact us if you have any questions or wish to add your contribution.
Okay.
All right.